Hello and welcome to Ilani Talks, a podcast focused on redefining self-care and love for your mental health. I'm your host, Ilani Salcedo. Throughout the podcast episodes, I share my own experiences while others feature some truly wonderful guests. In this episode, I'm celebrating Ilani Talks' one-year anniversary. You'll hear about the journey it's been since the very beginning, why I decided to launch my very first episode on my 30th birthday, more about me, and you'll also get to hear from some of the guests in season 1 and 2. Welcome to this special episode of Ilani Talks. It's our one-year anniversary on March 21st, 2021. I cannot believe how far I've come with this and everything that I put into it. This episode is a special one for many reasons, aside from it being our one-year anniversary, but also because it's on a Sunday. We usually publish on a Tuesday or Friday bi-weekly. This is definitely out of the norm, but for really good reasons. Aside from obviously noting that, I am going to speak a bit about my journey as a podcaster, as a podcast host, as a founder of Ilani Talks, and why I created it in the first place. I know I have definitely spoken about this in previous episodes. The very first episode was Behind the Podcast, where I spoke a lot about that. But so much has changed since then. I have evolved as a speaker on episodes as well. So I've going to be able to dive in a little bit deeper and really express my feelings. And also for those who haven't been here since the very beginning, who might be hearing this episode for the very first time on Ilani Talks, just to give you a taste of like who I am as a person, aside from being the podcast host and all that Ilani Talks is. The feelings that went into creating Ilani Talks from the very, very beginning was definitely a mixture of nerves, excitement, and just, wow, how am I going to do this? But I'm so excited to do this. I know that I've had this idea to create a podcast for years. It is something that was in the back of my mind time and time again with the work that I do. If you're not familiar with who I am a copywriter for wellness brands. I also run my own small wellness business content on Ilani Salcedo. And yeah, you could check that out. I'll leave it in the show notes, the link to everything. But I have been writing for 10 years as a copywriter. I started really focusing on mental health and emotional health topics on Ilani Salcedo a few years ago. And then as I was starting to really begin doing the work for this, for the podcast, I sat down and thought, okay, so I want a podcast, but what could I actually speak about? And then I thought, okay, the work that I'm doing, it's something that I love. It's something I'll never get tired of speaking about. And I definitely want to have guests come on as well, aside from me sharing my own experiences. But how am I going to go about that? As those thoughts were really evolving and I was figuring things out, I wanted to then really talk about self-care and self-love and how important it is to redefine what those look like. And what I mean redefine is really put the view that self-care and self-love does not look the same to everyone. It's not the same for myself. It's not the same for you. It's not the same for the person that you listen to on these recordings that I have going up in the episodes. And I think that's also very important to have, because having the conversation really redefines that for the industry and just for people in general. You might be doing something that you never thought was self-care, and then you hear it on an episode and you're like, oh, I've been doing that for however long. I didn't know that that was self-care. So also those types of moments I love having and love offering through the episodes that I have with people. And I want to share a little bit about the reason why I published the very first episode of Ilani Talks on my 30th birthday last year. A 30th birthday is a milestone, but I really think if I was turning any age, I would have done it regardless. But specifically around my podcast, I wanted to publish maybe an episode to explain what Ilani Talks was about, my mission, who I am, and all that type of content before starting the season. While yes, the first episode is part of the first season, I feel like it's just more of an intro, and I really wanted to build that momentum before publishing other episodes with guests and other conversations that I was going to share through my experiences. That was definitely something I wanted to share today, especially in our year anniversary, because I don't think I remember that that was the reason. While I've shared definitely my process of how I began the podcast with people through blog posts, through my Instagram stories, through episodes themselves, I think I kind of forgot that, yes, my 30th birthday was like a gift to myself and obviously a gift to the world, but I also wanted to have that momentum and that foundation so that when the other episodes came, it just kind of made sense and really rolled through. And also, I wanted to begin my episodes in April 2020, and my birthday is at the end of March, March 21st, if you're listening to it today. And yeah, it just kind of all made sense. It just fit together, and I was able to create that. There was a lot of nerves that went into it, but I'm so excited that I began it. It was definitely a leap of faith and one of the best leaps I've ever made. I have met such amazing and incredible humans, whether I reached out to them, whether they reached out to me, whether we found ourselves in the same communities. Like, it's just been such a great experience that I would have never imagined. And I'm forever blessed to have the opportunities that I've been able to have the conversations, to have the confidence to do this. I was, aside from like obviously being nervous, I was really trying to figure out how, as an introvert, how am I going to connect with others and speak and really share things if I didn't have that in my life at the moment? And that part of me has evolved so much. I feel so much comfortable on the mic now that I'm in my second season, and this is the 19th episode. I mean, 19 episodes of talking to people and behind the scenes, what goes on there too. There's so many conversations, and for other things as well. Like, it's just been such a great experience, and this chunk of my life has been so amazing, and it's only been a year. Let's see what I could make from here on out. Like, it's just so incredibly amazing, and I already started recording for my third season, which is bizarre to me. Like, what? How am I doing that? And the second season isn't over, but I'm really, really happy, and I'm so excited for those to come out when my third season launches, which I'm working on all of that at some point. But I am just so happy to be here just celebrating what I've created and the collaborations I've been able to have with others. I also want to share where my inspiration comes from, because I don't think I've really shared that in any type of medium. So where does my inspiration come from? I read a lot, so definitely in terms of like storytelling and just creativity in journal, that is super helpful, and I love doing it, so it comes easy. Also, taking breaks fuels my creativity, because when I am away from my work, and I'm sure you've heard this from other people, really explain how breaks help them take space so that they could come up with new ideas. Sometimes it could be a lengthy time, especially in between seasons, but sometimes taking breaks, like going for a walk or hanging out with my family or planning something that's fun, getting creative, painting, like all these different elements, listening to music. I'm not the best singer, but even singing helps me. Like, so many different things that you could do outside of what you do for work, especially if it's something you love. Sometimes you could get really caught up in it. Taking breaks is necessary, and I want to really highlight that, because you could really burn yourself out. As much as you love what you're doing, regardless of what it is, you can get burnt out. And when we're feeding our minds with so much information, it really takes a toll on us. So being really mindful of that is so important. My inspiration also comes from the guests that I have and the conversations I have with them. Like, I have a specific process before we record that allows us to get to know each other a little bit better, even if we don't speak after the recording or after the episode is published. I try to keep that communication alive. I just love collaborating, and I love really having that sense of community, even if we're not consistently speaking, but knowing that if I send you an email or you send me an email, we're able to collaborate again or just have amazing conversations. Like, I've been able to do that with so many people and I absolutely love it. And it's something that I absolutely cherish about every single guest that comes on here. I have some type of relationship with each and every one of them after the episode or even before the episode. I might know them personally and all that good stuff. And it's just such a great experience that I love bringing. Now I want to speak about the inspiration about my branding. So before I began my second season, I took a month off from all the content work because, again, talking about breaks, I needed that break badly. And one of the things that I did in the first season that was not in the second season was a video clip on my YouTube channel summarizing each episode. Let me tell you, by like the seventh episode, I was exhausted. I was like, why did I choose to do this? While yes, that type of exposure was great, this is exhausting. I don't necessarily like going on video much. It just takes out too much energy for me. But just imagine me recording an episode, then having to do a video, then having to edit the episodes, then making sure like the copywriting was right and all the images for the episodes were up. Like, oh my God, I don't know why I put that pressure on myself. I tend to do that. I have gotten so much better at that and being really mindful where my energy goes and being able to just say no, even if it's something that I want to dive into. But that was something that completely took my energy away. So aside from that, my branding today, I really wanted to sit down and think, okay, what's the feel that I want people to have? Aside from like definitely the episodes and the conversations that are coming from them, I want this clean look and a consistent look. Because as I was looking through my Instagram feed of the first season, like yes, each episode has its own graphic and had its own quality, but I kind of wanted more of like a uniform and flowy look. So what I did is that I thought of the colors that I would want to use. And then I found a template on the Creative Market, I want to say, and they have beautiful, beautiful everything. If you need something with branding, with documents, with fonts, etc., they have so many beautiful things. And before I went there, I think I found it actually on Pinterest. Pinterest is such a great source for visual inspiration and just inspiration for me. Typing in branding stuff, and I just love creating these things. And then when I had that, I was like, okay, how do I want my website to look? As much as it has its own like color scheme and has this retro vintage feeling, because that's something I also wanted to really go with, I also wanted it to be minimalist. And that's why my website is very minimal, but still using the brand elements that I set out. And that has been one of the easiest things that I've done for myself, because it has allowed me to create templates of what I want everything to look like. And when creating the content, it's not as overwhelming. So if you're thinking of your own podcast, or if you're just thinking of your own business or something that you're starting, or like a hobby and you like doing this stuff, think about these steps that I take, because they have helped immensely in my workflow. And also just to keep my energy levels up, because as you juggle many things, sometimes that is definitely a part of you that gets overwhelmed or just doesn't work as well. The next part of this episode is going to take a different route. We are going to hear some audio clips from guests from season 1 and season 2. The reason being, it's our 1-year anniversary, and honestly, without my guests, I don't know if I would make it this far, or I don't even know if I would be able to make these many episodes, but I am truly blessed with each and every one of them. You'll listen to a handful of answers from questions that I asked them. I will be answering some my own, and I hope you enjoy this bit.
My name is Shafina Khan Salim, and I am a licensed mental health counselor.
My name is Alessia Wisniewski, and I am a mother, a new mother, a wife, a daughter. I am a friend, a sister. I'm an editor, and I'm a millennial.
Lily Markle. I am a well-accredited professional, founder of Well Adapted Group, as well as a certified yoga and meditation instructor and Thai massage therapist.
My name is Gabriela Almeida Altamirano. I am a mama of two. I have a 2-year-old girl, and I am expecting a baby boy who's due in May. I am married to my high school sweetheart. I work with children and families in mental health and behavioral health field, and I am an advocate for animals, the environment, social justice, and equal rights.
I'm Holly Shays, and I'm a style coach and consultant.
My name is Lauren Ashley, and I am a destination wedding photographer and educator for photographers who want to learn how to grow their business.
As you just heard, you heard the guests' names and who they are and what they do. And then now you're going to hear what episode they came on Ilani Talks and their favorite part of our conversation.
I was on the episode with Ilani Talks, which was episode 10, titled Mental Health, Generational Trauma, and Technology. My favorite part of this conversation, I think, would definitely be the part surrounded around what we need to do or what we can do to change generational trauma, mental health with technology for ourselves, but also for the children of the future. I think that part of the conversation really provides insight and hope and also a lot of awareness as to what's going on right now in our communities and in our world.
I was on an episode, I'm sorry, I have mom brain, so I don't remember which one it was. I think it was first or second. I know it was special. In the first season with Ilani. And my favorite part of the conversation was really just how like authentic it was. I mean, Ilani and I have been friends since we were 6, 7, even younger than that, to be honest. We danced together when we were little up until high school, and we have just been friends ever since. She's really like my third sister, to be honest. Our families are friends. And I just feel like Ilani and I have really been there for every important part of each other's lives. So, you know, we've gone through some of the same things together. We still are. And that does not include physical things like, you know, boyfriends and husbands now, you know, sweet 16s, proms, things like that. But also mentally, you know, we both were kind of raised the same way, and we share a lot of the same values and stuff. So just such an easy conversation with Ilani, you know, really as always. So that was my favorite part, the authenticity of the conversation.
I was recently on a podcast on Ilani Talks with Ilani talking about Ayurveda therapies and energy alchemy. In other words, how we both can give and take away energy and move both towards and away from balance at any given moment in our daily lives. So what I thought was super cool about the conversation was that, of course, Ilani was such a great listener and even went ahead and did her own research in advance of our chat and found out her dosha or her Ayurvedic constitution. So we were able to sort of compare and contrast the different lens or veil, I like to say, through which we identify and engage with the world and environment around us. So it was super vulnerable and real talk, and I loved it.
I was a guest on Ilani Talks, episode 9, where I got to discuss my experience with having a miscarriage, my unmedicated water birth, getting support from the midwives throughout pregnancy and childbirth, and the new challenges that new moms have to face. My favorite part about the podcast was discussing the needs that new mamas have when they have their new baby and just kind of bringing to light a new understanding that when a baby is born, a new mama is born too and is a new journey for her. So we need to do our best to support mamas, to give them a lot of TLC and just to surround them with a lot of support for them to be able to be successful in their new journey.
I was on episode 16, Clothing and Self-Care with Holly Shays, and my favorite part of our conversation together was when we got into the discussion of how much stuff we can hold in our closets, both physical stuff and emotional and mental and historic stuff, kind of getting into the what skeletons are hiding at the back of your closet discussion.
I was on episode 5 of the Ilani Talks podcast, and I absolutely loved our conversation around tuning into who you are, finding what lights you up inside, and how to turn that into your full-time career.
How amazing are my guests? I loved everything that they all mentioned. It's so hard for me to pick a favorite or my favorite moment of any of our conversations, but I really love the ones that they highlighted because I totally resonate with everything that they shared. I do want to mention Lily, one of the guests that you heard already about. Her episode actually hasn't been published yet. It will be published this Tuesday coming up. So if you're a regular listener, you'll be able to hear that. And if you're not, you could follow wherever you please to listen to that amazing episode. But let's move on to the questions. So the next question that I had for my guests was, what did you want to be when you were young? I'm going to quickly answer this for myself, and then you'll hear everybody's answer. But I wanted to be a few things. I wanted to be a ballerina. I wanted to also be a teacher. And then when I was super young and playing with toys, I wanted to be a cashier. I loved playing, like I had money with coins and toys and stuff like that. So that was super fun, but it makes me giggle, and I hope it makes you giggle because childhood. That's all I could say, just childhood.
When I was young, I wanted to be, I think, like everyone, either a pediatrician or a teacher. That drastically changed, of course.
When I was younger, I never had a dream of, you know, being a teacher or a lawyer or, you know, anything like that. I just have really always wanted to be a mom. And I even felt that way in my adult life. You know, I would see my friends with all these aspirations and, you know, I want to be a writer, I want to be a parole officer, I want to do this and that, but I never had that feeling. I just always wanted to be happy, you know, and I knew that being a mom would make me that. And now I am, and I'm the happiest I've ever been.
When I was growing up, I wanted to be, of course, in my movement background, a dancer, a professional dancer, which eventually shifted more towards an interest in biology, specifically marine biology. I was obsessed with water and organisms and how they worked together and in support of each other, feeding into one harmonious, massive relationship of life. And I would say I kind of followed that path in a weird way into working with human health systems and how our environment affects and impacts our lives in any given moment on a daily basis.
When I was young, I remember I always wanted to be either a teacher or a fashion designer.
When I was young, I don't remember having a specific thing I wanted to do, but I've always loved clothing and I've always wanted to have clothing be a really vital part of my life ever since I was a kid.
When I was younger, I wanted to be so many things, from an astronaut all the way to a pop singer.
The next question that you will hear the answers to is, if you could eat only one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be and why? I'm the worst for asking this question, especially because I'm also answering this. I am the biggest foodie. I love all types of food. I could list a bunch of stuff, but if I were to just eat one meal for the rest of my life, I think it would be pasta. I make this specific pasta once a week. It is super simple. It's olive oil with garlic and onions, white onions, and I saute Italian herbs. I like adding mushrooms, so I would add mushrooms to that and just saute it all up, add some spaghetti, and top it off with some red pepper flakes. Only a little bit because I don't like things too spicy, but that little kick does wonders to it. So that's it, because I love pasta. And if for whatever reason I could only have one meal, I couldn't live without it. Like I said, I have this dish at least once a week. So yeah, that's why.
If I could eat one meal for the rest of my life, I think it would probably be definitely pizza would be up there. Tacos and some other cultural foods that I just don't think I could ever live without.
If you could eat only one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be and why? It would be my mom's bolognese. I'm Italian, if you couldn't tell by my first name, Alessia. And my mom's bolognese is just something that brings me warmth and comfort. In my opinion, nobody cooks as good as my mom. My husband is a very, very, very close second. He's an amazing cook. But you know, your mother is your mother, and her bolognese just reminds me of my childhood. And anytime there's a special event, like a birthday or something, and she asks me what I want, I don't know why she asks, because she already knows that's going to be my response. So yes, my mom's rigatoni bolognese.
Any meal for the rest of my life, just one meal, it would have to be breakfast. breakfast is my favorite meal. And anything that has eggs or cheese and some kind of carb would just make me happy. I could eat that all day.
If I could only eat one meal for the rest of my life, it would probably be pizza, because you can use it as a base for so much else. Like, you can basically put an entire salad or an entire pasta dish or an entire anything you want on top of a pizza and still call it pizza. So I think it would give you the best variety. Also, it's delicious.
If I could eat only one meal for the rest of my life, it would probably be sushi, specifically spicy tuna rolls, because they're the best.
My next question is, do you collect anything? This question is something that randomly popped up in my head. I'm like, why not ask one of these things that we don't really have an episode about, or I wouldn't really think about asking in general. So for myself, I don't necessarily collect anything, but if you count a person who buys books all the time, then I am definitely a collector of books.
My absolute favorite things to collect are elephants. So little statues of elephants, miniature, medium size. I have yet to own a ginormous elephant or a real one. That would be nice, but I do love them.
My husband and I, Tommy, we love collecting ashtrays and lighters. We've traveled and we have friends who travel, and I just love the look of an ashtray and how different ones can like reflect the different cities you've been to, and look at lighters too. I don't know why we're like just so fascinated by lighters.
I do collect little Disney ceramic figurines, either Disney princesses or Mickey, Minnie, whatever Disney thing that comes in little ceramic figurine. I have a stand in my living room where I have them in display.
Listening to these answers, specifically Alessia's and how she mentioned what her and her husband collect when they travel, I actually do collect t-shirts and like sweatshirts of places I go, whether that's internationally or nationally in the United States. But that is something I collect, and I totally forgot I do that. And I was also collecting mugs at one point. I have too many mugs, so t-shirts is it. Now for the next question, what's the craziest thing you've done in the name of love? For myself, is being in a long distance relationship that is so fulfilling, so beautiful, and really trusting it when it began, especially. That if that isn't crazy, then I don't know what is. I'll definitely dive into more about me and my fiance's story at some point, because it's one of my favorite stories. Aside from obviously being ours, I just love it so much. And I love him and I love us. So yeah, so one day I will share more about that.
Oh boy. I don't know. I've done a lot of crazy things if you ask Tommy. I think I'm married so young. If we think about like our parents' generation, 25 is really not a young age. My mom had me by age of 24. Most parents have more than one child. In our generation, I think people are putting off marriage to seek their career and just really like explore themselves and travel and things like that. But Tommy and I started dating when we were 20 years old. And I'm not joking when I knew instantly that I was going to marry him. And we were just very serious from such a young age. And we said, "I love you," after a week of being together. Our friends thought we were crazy, and they voiced that, which is valid. But here we are, 10 years later. We've been together 10 years in December, and we are successful and happy as ever. We have a beautiful, healthy daughter. We have a wonderful relationship. So yeah, I would say just being so in love at such a young age, when other people, in college, which is when we dated, when other people were at parties, we were home together on a Friday night having so much fun. And, not to say we didn't party, because we definitely did. Me probably a little bit more, but yeah.
Love definitely makes us trust a lot, as you heard me and Alessia speak about. Now, the next question is, what's one thing you've taken for granted but don't anymore because of the last year we've had or are still experiencing today? For myself, it's the time that I have, meaning the time that I have with anything that I do for work, the time that I have to spend with my loved ones, and just time in general. I think having so much of it taken away, or are quote unquote normal, You don't realize how much time you should be spending doing other things or the energy that you should be putting into certain relationships or aspects of your life. I think it's just really easy to get caught up with that and losing yourself with time and not realizing how valuable you should be spending it with the ones you love most, with the things that you love doing most, with stuff that brings your energy up and not drain it. While there's so many things out of our control, at least the things that we could control, let's not waste our energy. You know, let's conserve it. Let's take care of ourselves. Make sure we're well. Make sure those surrounding us are well. Make sure we're doing good for the world. And just not take that bit of our life for granted, because everything could be gone in a split second and we just need to be grateful.
One thing that I've taken for granted, but I don't anymore because of this last year, I think is definitely my space, like my personal space. I think we take that for granted at times because it was just so fluid before. Like, oh yeah, go into my car, I can just go to work, I can be separated from other people. And then once the pandemic hit, it was like, oh no, like I really do value my personal space.
What is one thing you've taken for granted but don't anymore because of the last year we've had and are still experiencing today? My family, 100%. You know, and it's not that I willingly or knowingly took my family for granted, but you know, your life is full of so many people, friends, family, people from work. But most of quarantine, I was pregnant. I found out I was pregnant in April. Quarantine started in mid-March. April 1st, I found out I was pregnant. So I really stayed away from a lot of people the first half of quarantine, and now I have my daughter and she's only 3 months. So I'm just very limited on the people I see. And we really only go to like my mom's house or my in-law's house. And, you know, we're just spending so much time with family, and I just realized how happy they make me and how appreciative I am of my mom. The love I feel for her now, you know, of course you love your mom at every stage of her life, but the love I feel for her now is just so much more than ever before, and I'm just so grateful for her, and I think it's because I'm around. So definitely my family.
Ultimately, I just want to share, over the past year, of course, it's been challenging for anyone, to say the least, but I truly strongly believe that as long as we adhere to our human innate desire, which is to simply belong and feel connected, we can do some real good in the world, recognizing that we've come a long way, we've done so much, and we still have so much work to do. But as long as we can find those simple moments in everyday life to feel connected, to feel belonging, whether that's a chat with a friend, someone to bounce ideas off of, or whether it's sitting in 5 minutes of silence, just listening to your own thoughts and unpacking them slowly. It's the same, that need to belong and to feel seen and heard by yourself or by others.
The thing that I have been able to appreciate the most this past year during the pandemic is just the chance to go out and interact with others, you know, form social connections, be part of the community, be part of the society, things that before I feel like a lot of us took for granted. But just being able to go out to eat your favorite food at your favorite restaurant, or just go to a concert of your favorite band and sing your heart out, or go see your team play a game, get together with your girlfriends, have like play dates, or just spend the morning at the library with other moms while you do story time with the kids. Like all those things that humans crave, that social connection, that interaction, that being part of something bigger than you has definitely been something that I've struggled, you know, missing this year. So definitely the connection with the community.
One thing that I've always taken for granted but don't anymore because of the last year is, first of all, getting to hug people when I see them. And second of all, just the act of breathing slowly and consciously and intentionally. I have always really loved the breath work part of yoga classes and movement classes, but I'm having a much deeper appreciation for it now that it's in the zeitgeist in such a profound way.
Last year hit us with the unexpected, and it made me realize that at any given moment, your whole world can change. You could lose your job, lose your income, lose loved ones. And I think that that was a serious wake-up call for a lot of people. I know for me personally, it motivated me to build more than just one income stream and to spend more time with my family. And I know for others, they realized that they were miserable on their jobs, and they made it their mission in 2020 to begin to build their own business in hopes to start leading a life by their own design and not by somebody else's.
The last thing I had my guest do is fill in this prompt. I am most grateful for blank. I am most grateful for my family and fiance. Without their love and support, I don't know where I would be. They are just everything to me, and I am so blessed that we're as close as we are in terms of my family, and that I just have such an amazing partner by my side to do life with, which is all I've ever wanted, in the most amazing way that I could put into words and in this one episode.
What I am most grateful for is my faith. I think faith comes through for me in so many different ways, so many different aspects of your life, whether you're going through something positive or whether you're going through something negative. I think faith is a place that I can always turn to gain more positivity when I'm feeling negative and to release that negativity when I am not feeling my best.
I am most grateful for my daughter. She has truly changed my life. Like I said, I've always wanted to be a mom, but she just is so much better than I could have ever imagined. And I'm lucky enough that I can be home with her. Thank you, know, the silver lining of COVID for me personally is that, like I said, I was home my entire pregnancy and I had a really rough pregnancy. So that was such a blessing for me. I napped a lot. I was home during the summer when it was so hot and you don't want to do anything while you're 5-6 months pregnant. And now I'll get to be home with her for most of the first year of her life. And she's just brought such a joy to my life, my husband's life, our life together, and our families. So I'm just so grateful for her and so blessed that she chose me to be her mom.
As a new mother, I am grateful for those little moments of self-reflection that I can take. Maybe once a day, maybe it's once a week, but I take them and I carve out that space specifically for that. Otherwise, there is only giving and no receiving. And it's truly a gift to be able to find that balance. Nobody's perfect, but we can all try.
One thing that I'm really grateful for is God's protection and provision in my life. I feel like I'm very grateful right now for my health and the health of my family, for having my family close to us, for our home that I, you know, created with my husband, for our pets, and of course, for our little babies.
The thing I'm most grateful for, there's a lot, but one of the things I'm really appreciating right now is the ability to prep food and really think consciously about what I'm eating throughout the week, as opposed to in the past, I have very much relied on takeout and delivery in a way that I'm trying to be more conscious of.
I'm most grateful for the support I have in my life from my family and friends, the people who have believed in me from the start and continue to cheer me on. It means the world to me.
I want to thank you for listening to everything and celebrating with me today on my 1 year anniversary with Ilani Talks. I hope that whatever episode you come across, whether it be this one or whichever one, that it brings you the message that I hope it's meant for you. And that you guys just continue supporting me in all the ways you can. Thank you so, 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 so much. And the biggest thank you goes to my guests that spoke in this episode and everyone that has come on an episode with me and have shared their experiences, their voice, and everything that they bring to the table. I wouldn't be where I am today, honestly, without their energy and without their collaboration at all. And of course, you listeners. I appreciate you guys just as much. Thank you so much for supporting me and listening to my episodes and just following me on my Instagram, also subscribing to my newsletter. The support is so appreciated, and I'm beyond grateful for every bit of everything that I've created. Thank you so much. Happy 1 year to me. Happy 1 year to Ilani Talks. And we'll close out with the last clips of the recordings.
Thank you, Ilani, for having me on episode 10. It was such a pleasure in working with you, and I hope we can do it again in the future.
Thank you, Ilani. I love you. I'm just so happy to be part of this celebration. So congratulations, Ilani, on your anniversary. I look forward to hearing so many more amazing talks, real talks, vulnerable talk, and many more years to come.
Happy 1 year anniversary, Ilani Talks.
Thanks for having me, and a million congratulations. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in this week to Ilani Talks. Refer to the show notes for details we discussed in this episode and more about the guest. To get in touch, send a DM on Instagram at Ilani Talks. And if you enjoy this podcast, visit IlaniTalks.com to sign up for the newsletter at the very bottom of the homepage. By signing up, you'll receive exclusive information that only subscribers get. Until the next one, with all my love, Ilani.